Quakeversal Satellite, Coptic and Gus, September 4th, 19:01/12.
We got another special Quakeversal Satellite for all of you. Yes, you, even you, straight out of Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. And our friend, Coptic Nerve, is back in the studio, and he brought along moral support and a fellow expert, so it looks like we're going to really get rolling here. And we introduce Gus to the mix here. And yeah, we're supposed to talk about some pop culture, some great films, and with any luck at all, you will be amused and entertained, and we'll even try to make it a little safer for work than our last excursion.
Yes.
Just so, you know, I know some of you don't play this stuff at home because your family thinks you're crazy, and you try to get away with it at work. And if we're, like, talking about genitals, it might... But anyhow, we've got some great topics to get to. First and foremost, just the other day I was conversing with Coptic, and he informed me that for the first time this week, he saw The Misfits. So tell us all about that.
Well, I'd heard of it, and I obviously...
But for somebody who's never seen The Misfits, I mean...
Yeah. Well, I'm a big John Huston fan. I had no idea. I mean, I didn't know Marilyn Monroe could ever be talked into doing a movie like that. And, I mean, there's some big names in it, but it's, like, really, it's pretty disturbing. It was, it's some really raunchy, kind of disturbing, messed up behavior. There's a lot of drunk driving and, you know, somebody chasing down a herd of wild horses with a shotgun and shooting at them from a plane. And the guy with the head injury falling all over the place, and everybody's laughing at him, and you kind of laugh too, but you're like...
Oh, no, it's the acting. It's just the way... And he... Unfortunately, he was... he didn't have to act too hard
It was It was kind of a deeply messed up movie, and so you think it's kind of this, like... Oh, it's a little bit of, like, kind of a Raymond Carver vibe. Just these sort of, like, you know, misfits and junkies and F-ups. I'm really trying to watch my language here. And the... really sweet... cowboy stunts, like some of the gnarliest horse work I've ever seen in a movie, for sure. You can tell it's really
and,
not.
And Gable's last stand, that one scene there where he's trying to rope that horse and he insists on doing his own stunts. Couple of his biographers.
Really? He really did that. That looks
a couple of his biographers say that his insistence on doing some of the stunts in that movie. It was why he never made another movie.
I mean, yeah, and Marilyn does great, too. Of course, we want to get into Eli Wallach. We made a special note of Mr. Wallach as Guido.
Eli Wallach is just... And this is... That's his heyday. He could do no wrong in that era.
Q.S. Clotch, January 5th, 17, 14, 18th.
You should oughta. More solid proof that there is nothing like the Quakeversal Satellite.
Now the second act of Gunsmoke.
Coming, Doc.
You know, don't rush me, Matt. Don't rush me. I haven't made one of these blood tests in years. If you ask me, I don't see any use in making one now. Well, let me see. Pour the precipitant into here. What other kind of blood could it be except human?
Doc, I only want to be sure, that's all.
All right. Let me see. 5 drops of the sulfate. You sure look uncomfortable, Matt.
Well, how'd you like to try arresting that lady, Doc?
Not my job to arrest her. All I'm doing is stopping up these loopholes Matt's trying to wiggle out of.
Well, that's real decent of you, Doc. Real decent.
No, sir, Matt, I don't recall you ever being in such a predicament. Oh, of course, I remember the night you shot it out with the Barkley boys over in the Alafraganza. There were three of them, and you did not turn a hair. And then that other time when you got dry gulched by the Platte River gang.
All right, Doc, all right, all right. But this is different. If I go to arrest that woman, she's just crazy enough to start a gunfight.
Oh, it's a problem. It's a problem, all right. Now, let's see. We'll just shake this up and warm it a bit.
You know, there is one thing, though, Mr. Dillon. Shooting at a mark's not the same as a gunfight. Maybe she wouldn't even resist.
Do you really believe that, Chester?
No, sir. Oh, she ain't a woman. She's a human catastrophe.
She sure is for Matt.
Well, there's still a chance we may be going off half-cocked here. That blood could have got on Herman's vest a dozen different ways.
We'll soon see. Let's see now. Couple of drops of reagent. One, two, three, four. And we'll look for the color change. So, turn up the lamp a little bit, will you, Chester, please?
All right.
Oh. Wow. Yes,
well, Doc?
Well, it's tough luck, Matt. It's human blood. Hey, Matt, I thought we was going over to Longhorn to talk to Mamie.
Overnightscape Central Synchronicity, Eccentricity and Authenticity, October 10th, 24, 52 57ths.
And right, walking through that party and seeing the wooden man and everything else, like the idea is that that's would be an imagined world, right? And then we have a third major world type that we experience, which is in our imagination, our visualization, right? You can imagine the house you grew up in right now, and you know you're not there, but you can imagine it, right? So you have, there's three copies of the world so far, right? There's the real world, and then there's the copy of it in your mind that you can consciously explore via imagination or thought. And then there's the dream world where, right, it's a similar copy of the world, but it runs on slightly different rules. The idea being, does it seem like these things are all separate things, or the theory of the filters talks about they're all the same thing. It's just looking at them through different filters. The idea being that the major waking versus sleeping, as you're passing from sleep to waking, this is hypnopompic, going in is called hypnagogic, right? The idea is that the filters, if they're not touching, if there's a slight gap in the filters, right, for a brief moment, which feels like like a second or two, you are exposed to the full mass of information in a much more extreme, an intense way. And that is where the blasts of information and documents and words and ideas just burning onto the surface of your mind could make some kind of sense. But this theory that, right, the entirety of the world that you're living in is all in, right, the stuff is everywhere. It could render anything, right? And all the specifics of 2024 and Earth and the United States and New Jersey and my porch and Nutley, New Jersey is all aspects of that filter, right, that are creating this world in a, perhaps in an arbitrary way. But also thinking about authenticity in terms of Blade Runner, which is talking about in the future, they're able to create essentially, I guess they started off creating robots and then androids, and then eventually able to create humans, right, that are indistinguishable from an actual human. They're called replicants. It's using genetic engineering, and you're growing, you're building the all the physical aspects of the person, the skeleton, the muscles, and the nervous system, and the brain, and everything else. You're constructing it in a way that it's more human than human. You're actually building human beings, and then implanting in them false memories, so that they wouldn't even know. They might not even know, in the case of Deckard, that he's a replicant. Or, what's her name?
Earweird 5-6-7-8, September 2014, 3369.
System that is loaded with features, including some that for the price you would never find on a phone. The secret call is one in particular. That is so neat. Because nobody wants to be bothered by a phone call that happens to be one of those solicitors or something like that. We have an idea for you. This phone is equipped with circuitry that allows you to know who's on the other end of the line before you pick it up.
It's like a little computer, isn't it?
Very nice. It's an answering system rather than a machine.
Yes.
We'll have that coming up, so be on the lookout. Are we ready to see what we have next?
Let's take a look.
For the person who has absolutely everything, or a great gift to give to the boss or the secretary, I'd like you to take a look right now at something rather interesting. This is the Travel Companion. This is a world clock. Has a world clock on it. It's an FM radio. It is a full-functioning calculator, all-in-one handheld unit. This is perfect to take with you if you want to go camping or fishing. You're out of town for a little while on a business trip. Something to use, obviously, on your nightstand if you're in a hotel or a motel. We will offer this at only $19.95, but it's going to be very quick. 3-minute special at $19.95. It's a traveling companion. The World Time Clock gives you the date, as you can see, has a built-in speaker so you can hear the radio, telescopic antenna. The window flips up. It's an LCD window with 8 digits that shows the calculator, gives you the date, the day and the month, and a world time display if you want. Plus, it has a built-in snooze alarm. This is like a clock radio, if you will, with a built-in snooze alarm. You can wake to the radio or wake to the alarm. So you have this portable alarm clock to take with you wherever you go. And since it will beep, you can, if you have a meeting to be at or something to be reminded, maybe medication you need to take or a phone call you need to make, you can set this one to beep at any time during the day.
Where
really
can
neat.
You get a clock, plus a world time clock, where you also have an electronic calculator, my friends? It adds, it subtracts, it divides, it eliminates the need to carry a separate calculator. Look at all the feature. And you're right, this would be a great gift. What a nice gift to give to your secretary, to your boss, to your sons, to someone who's going off to college, to myself when I do all my traveling around the country. A terrific value. Give us a call on it right now.
Meet Chris Parker. Getting ready for the greatest night of her life.
Hi.
I gotta cancel. Now she's stuck babysitting the Anderson kids. Sarah.
Mom got Chris to babysit for me.
Chris. Her brother Brad.
Oh my.
His best friend Daryl.
Who is this kid?
Stray dog.
Take good care of my baby. I'll guard her with my life.
What could possibly go wrong?
Chris, I'm in trouble. Hang up and sit down. I'll be there in half an hour. Well, I'm just
out of school. This is the night when things go from bad.
My mom's car!
To worse.
Big city.
The Rambler number 192, February 2nd, 09, 9.5/16.
Whoopee! Half price coupons to Chicago.
What coin, ladies and gentlemen?
Help the homeless. Gotta help the homeless. We all gotta help the homeless. One coin. One coin is all it takes to help the homeless.
Live comedy show.
Live comedy show. Oh. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do airwaves right now. I'm not feeling it. I don't have the airwaves fuel within me right now. comedy shows. Yes, Times Square. Very beautiful. Nine to Five, the musical. What is it? Every freaking movie from like the 70s and 80s is becoming a musical now? What, like, honestly, why can't people make up something original? The Lion King, Nine to Five, Mary Poppins. It's all crap that already was made up. Make up something new. I know. The investors, they want a proven property. You can't just make up something new. It's really inhibiting creativity. Think about it. It's ridiculous. Imagine if I did that. I couldn't come up with anything new. I would just have to keep redoing, like saying the same thing over and over again. Oh wait, that's what comedians do. Okay, there are people that do that, right? Like, I'm kind of talking about stuff, but if I was a comedian, I would just have to talk about the same stuff over and over again. So, I don't know. I could go to Toys R Us, you know. I guess I'm not going to make the 7:30. Should call my wife and let her know that I'm going to be late. I don't know. Let me give her a call. Hold on a second. I've been recording for 30 minutes? Wait a minute. Normally, I could walk to the whole bus station in 30 minutes. Haven't I been walking the whole time? I guess I've been walking slow. I don't know. Big game ads. Yeah, they're focusing too much on these Super Bowl commercials. It's becoming, if you like, if there's these commercials, and you know, and they're just there, you can be interested in them. But then, like, you should watch these commercials. They're Super Bowl commercials. It gets annoying, you know. Here's Toys R Us. Everything seems very like everything's very quiet tonight. You know, there's not a lot going on. It's a great indoor Ferris wheel of the Toys R Us. Beautiful. Beautiful thing. You hear it? It's beeping and running and everything. How about the video game section?
The exit ramp number 42, Arcade Reality, February 26th, 23, 45 74ths.
Cannibalizing the corpses of these old TV shows endlessly, and now Velma, who, you know, everyone sort of fantasized, oh, is she a lesbian, whatever. Now they're just like delving into Velma's backstory. You know, I don't know what is this. What is it with Velma? I really don't know the specifics.
That's one of those shows that I'm assuming was designed to just annoy people, so I'm not even going to buy into it. You know,
it's a bit similar to that Harlequin show, and so on. It's. I mean, if you take it completely in a vacuum, it's pretty decent show. It's very deliberately provocative in every way. But I can see people who are sort of attached to Scooby-Doo would be angry because it has nothing to do with it. I mean,
at this point, anything they can do to deconstruct, destroy, or just get rid of,
I never cared for the Scooby-Doo show.
The question is Scrappy-Doo in this? Because he was even more controversial.
No, Scooby is not in it.
Off all of us original Scooby-Doo fans. I think none of us ever recovered.
Scooby-Doo is not in it at all. And I think Norville, or I guess Shaggy, it hasn't got that name yet in the show.
So he gets his name by Norville. He was Norville in the original.
Yeah, and he's a black guy here, but anyway. So apparently he's in a later show. I haven't gotten that far, but apparently he's hooking up with some woman that's called Scoob E or something like that, but I haven't gotten that far yet.
Scooby is season two.
There's no talking dogs or anything. Okay.
Now, what are they going to do to Scrappy? I mean, what particular orientation is Scrappy Doo going to have? Because he was much more intelligent than Scooby. He could speak eloquently. He was sort of diminutive, but like.
He's in a wheelchair.
He's going to have a... Yeah, okay. He'll be disabled. Yeah.
We need those clicks, baby.
And he's retarded, Frank.
But I mean, it's very meta. Like the first,
that's not too far from the original character.
In the pilot, he was kind of smart about, though, right? During a shower scene, they talk about how there's always more nudity in the pilot. It's very meta all the time and stuff.
But actually, Scrappy as like, yeah, him as being like sort of slow would be kind of, that might work actually.
Well, if he had a lot of gadgets that would make up for his wheelchair,
so he could talk like Stephen Hawking. That would be awesome. Yeah.
Voice like Stephen Hawking. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people don't know what a good ventriloquist Mr. Hawking was.
Yeah. Wow. and meanwhile, Clue Club, which is basically the same show, gets no respect at all. You know, remember Clue Club? You know, Hanna-Barbera made like five or six other shows that were exact copies of Scooby-Doo, but they never caught on for some reason. And of course, we're not even mentioning Scooby-Dumb, which I guess is not, you know, was he a later edition, Scooby-Dumb? Yeah.
For some reason, I never got into any of the Hanna-Barbera shows, really. I mean, is Flintstone one of them? I guess it's Watchmen. Mm-hmm. That's the only one I cared for at all.
Scooby-Dumb had the hat, right? Am I thinking about the right one? No? Scooby-Dumb? No one's...
Yeah, he had a hat. He was white and he had a hat.
Yeah. And he was dumber than Scooby, yeah.
That's was he right. the Southern dumb?
He might well have had a Southern accent. Prejudice.
The Rambler number 186, January 28th, 09, 8.53, 08/11.
Best source for shopping, art, antiques, entertainment, museums, dining, events, and maps. I think I'll skip that. I don't want a free magazine at this point. I have too much stuff. I have a lot of magazines. When is the big event? Wait. Now they're saying it's over? Rami Ashur won? They didn't even say that. There's a giant poster up there that says Rami Ashur won. But I don't know what's going on. Anyway, the Roger Smith Hotel there on 47th. Is it 47th? And, yeah, 47th and Lexington. The Roger Smith Hotel. What is usually an art gallery, they built sort of a hotel room, like a fake hotel room. But I guess it's not fake. I read the news story, and apparently this couple, you know, a married man and woman. We're going in the tunnel right now, the Grand Central North Tunnel, by the way. See, as you walk through the portal there, you're blasted with air for some reason. This couple, one article I read, it said they were from London, and another one said they're from New York. So I don't know. I don't know where they're from. They got to stay free in exchange for their room being visible to the street. Right? So that's the whole thing. It was whatever, like a publicity stunt. So... I think the smug-looking guy in the chair was just one of was the guy of the couple. And the girl was the girl. Then those other people were like some sort of film crew, like interviewing them. Ooh, what is it like having a hotel room on the street that people can look into? Maybe we should go there. We can go there now. We're only a few blocks away from there. We may as well, right? Why not? Let's go check out that room. But, you know, if you didn't hear the last episode of The Rambler, you know, like some woman was in there... like filming me talk. Like I was standing outside and this woman was like filming me as I was standing there talking about it, and the camera crew was looking up at me as if they're annoyed with me. It's like, F you. The whole point of this is that it's on the street and people can look in, and these camera guys are, I'm making too much noise or whatever. F them. I'm sorry, I have total right to stand on the street and record and do whatever I want looking at their stupid little hotel room, giving me these annoyed glances. Yeah, screw them. But maybe it's all on film, because that woman was filming me with like a little flip video, so blatantly like just filming me and sort of smiling at me and looking at me, and so that video is out there somewhere of me doing that. So anyway, yeah, so it's like a publicity stunt. So whatever. Whatever. Yeah, we're gonna go ahead over there. I was going to stop recording when I went outside here, but whatever. Well, I want to go look at the hotel. What's the matter with me? Hotel. What was that from? That movie, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? Hotel. They're trying to play Monopoly, and the one guy's like, I want a hotel. No, you can't buy a hotel. Like all he wanted to do in Monopoly was buy hotels. Was he, like, eating the hotels and stuff?
Tapestry number 28, Pyramid, January 25th, 15, 22:30 seconds.
Pain tolerance, and now my arm was dead. Dead. Mm. She was not able to function. Yeah, come on.
Well, she's barely able to function anyways.
That's the opposite of a squinch, what you did.
Yes, an arm punch is the opposite.
An arm punch is the opposite. A dead arm is the opposite of a squinch. We would never do that to our listeners. We only give them squinches.
Well, except for that one listener. You know who you are.
Who
There's
is
probably
it?
Like 20 people going, crap, it's me.
Well, I'm gonna start. That's the next contest, is give our listener a dead arm.
Ooh. Yeah, who wants to win a dead arm? That's really fun.
And you don't, we'll just, I'm just going to randomly, next time somebody tells me that they like the podcast, I'm just going to punch them in the arm.
There you go. There's a Frenicast dead arm for you right there.
There you go, asshole.
Be sure it's a day that the police report's going to get published in the paper. I want to read about it.
Perfect.
That'd be awesome.
Should we, now
are we doing more squinches?
Nope, that's all the squinches.
Two squinches? Are those just the most noteworthy?
Those are the only ones. Oh. And I'm sorry to say, our listeners love them dearly, love them to bits, just want to squinch them, but they're not so great at commenting, as we begged them to comment on
and
iTunes.
I'm guilty. I'm so guilty. Okay. I'm sorry.
I'll forgive you.
I really
don't give me a dinner.
It doesn't bother me that much because we track the numbers, so I know how many people are listening. And I don't care as much when, I'm like, well, we got blank 100 million listeners, you know, and so.
We've got 5 million listeners, and that's good enough.
I wish we had 5 million listeners.
We're getting there.
We have more listeners every week.
Yeah,
so
we
that's
do.
All that matters.
Steady growth.
Yeah.
That's right. We're growers, not showers, is what I like to say.
except for in the penguin world.
Show anything.
Yeah. I mean, I would rather not be shown anything by a penguin. Or grown.
Not anymore.
You might just kind of be mesmerized. And
I think it's still
anymore.
Even. I think even when even like penguin necrophilia, it's still adorable.
Does
I bet.
No.
I bet it's still. You're just like,
oh, penguin. You're giving it a hug. Wait a minute.
Oh, penguin.
I wonder.
It's the cutest necrophilia.
I mean, it's wrong
outside of a koala bear. I mean,
it's like wrong of me to think about this, but where the hell is a penguin's penis?
It's. At the juncture of
yeah,
it.
Pop out like, region? Does it pop out like a butterfly knife or something? Like
a butterfly knife?
Or what kind of knife pops out?
Well, a butterfly knife is the kind that has like
the kind
two handles on and like swings open.
Is that how it
so
is?
I doubt it.
Is that why there's so many dead little penguins around?
Just all sharp and just flying
just
out.
Swinging around.
Or does it, you know what I'm talking about? The kind that
a stiletto?
Pops out. Like
yeah,
a does it pop out like a, there you go,
a
like
switch
a switchblade?
No.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know. I will freely admit to not knowing how a penguiner works.
Do some research. Let's get back on that next
Google
time.
It.
Do some research.
Okay.
Google it.
I'll see if I can find
you
some
guys,
videos on YouTube we can link to on our
next
website.
Next week, we will be talking more about penguin penises.
Because that's pretty much all we've talked about this week.
You know what? It's a fascinating topic that deserves a lot of attention. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we kind of got into this, but we had a contest going on this past week where... we were going to reward the best iTunes comment on our podcast with a Frenicast 40. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're not really.
Falling Cow Compendium, One Light Flashing, December 24th, 21, 29:50 seconds.
A lot of jobs pay here. But once you kind of, you know, start networking and get to work with the group of people here in the industry, it's a great place to be. I mean, I'm really enjoying it. So sometimes I miss Hollywood, but I'm okay. I'm okay being here right now.
How would you compare Minneapolis to Hollywood as far as like ease of getting cast in things? Is it easier here?
Oh, it's much easier. Oh, definitely. And every time I work in something, I know somebody, you know, who I've worked with before or whatever. It's kind of the same people working all the time, which is kind of nice. Out there, it's really hard. It's really hard to get a decent role. I mean, you might get a line here or there or a featured extra thing or whatever, but there's just so many people and there's so much nepotism out there, and it's all about who you know. A lot of it is luck. But, yeah, there's just so many people doing it.
So tell us some of the shows and movies that you've been on.
Well, I have kind of a fun story. I worked on the TV show Roseanne, and that was quite an experience. I was hired on as a dancer. I just had this little dance bit. And Roseanne got very upset with us because we basically what you do on a TV show like that that's filmed in front of a live audience is you rehearse, you know, through the week, and then on the final day you shoot it in front of a live audience. And so we had been, you know, rehearsing our little dance bit all week, and then on the last day we were rehearsing before we were going to shoot, and she walks over and watches us and then decides to switch it all up. So she's like, no, we're going to switch partners. You dance with him and you dance with her. And she switched it up. And we're like, are you kidding me? I have to do this live now? So I talked to the first AD and I was like, why is she doing that? Now I have to start all over. And he's like, you know what? Don't even pay attention. Just go ahead and do it the way you had been rehearsing it. She won't even notice. So we're like, okay. So we just went back to doing it the way we were. Well, sure enough, she walks over and sees that we hadn't, you know, followed her direction, and she had a fit. I mean, bleep this, bleep that, what the, you know, oh my God. I mean, flying out of her mouth. And I was like, okay, I'm fired. And she was kind of a scary woman. But then Tom Arnold came over and was like, Roseanne, you know, what are you yelling about? And he told her to just leave it alone, leave it the way it was. And he pretty much yelled at her, and then she got upset and stormed off, and it was crazy. But we did end up doing it the way we had originally rehearsed it, so it all worked out.
What was it, a scene that she was even in?
No. No, it was a scene that Darlene was in, and she was at this dance. Yeah, so no, she wasn't even in it. I don't know. I think she was just kind of on this little power trip or something. But Tom Arnold, her husband at the time, put her in her place. So that was interesting.
So tell us about when you...
The Overnightscape 1683, on Moss, March 6th, 20, 27/31.
Thank you.
Rambler number 250, March 26th, 09, 10.32, 02/18.
Back right after 9/11, where I was kind of freaked out, and I wanted to, you know, sort of commute on the train instead of the bus because I thought the Lincoln Tunnel was a terrorist target. A terrorist target. Yes. So funny how the word terrorist and the word terrorist is like almost exactly the same. Terrorist. Some announcements en español. See, that's a kiss and ride. I was listening to the little Steely Dan on the bus. Steely Dan, of course, one of my favorite bands. And their fairly recent album, their last album they did was called Everything Must Go. And it almost seems appropriate for this time period in history, because everything, all these stores are closing down, and the economy, everyone's talking about, oh, because of the economy, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, the economy. Even on the old Virgin Megastore over there in Times Square, the sign, everything must go, because it's shutting down. But it's a good album, though. I really highly recommend it. And this song called Blues Beach. Really cool song. This is the kind of song that is not like I've heard this song like as sort of Muzak and supermarkets and stuff, but it's just a cool, weird science fiction song about sort of the future. This guy's like Blues Beach. It's a long sad Sunday for of the early resigned. Isn't that a great lyric? It's a long sad Sunday of the early resigned. Another lyric. Blues Beach, it's raining, I'm chilling at the Manatee Bar. Isn't that a great, this guy is like retired, he's in this place, Blues Beach, it's raining, he's just chilling at the Manatee Bar. Then there's like this girl, Trina the Child Bride, and he's like, we could rent a paranymphic glider, my hypothetical friend, right? A paranymphic glider, sort of like, I guess nymphic would mean sort of sexual, so like it's this weird science fiction concept, a paranymphic glider, like sort of a weird glider that you have sex in. And then another lyric, grab big wads of blanket, grab big wads of blankets, angel of my heart. Like, it almost seems like these are like real dreamlike lyrics, grab big wads of blankets. Yeah, Steely Dan's great. You should come out with another album, come on. These guys did their solo albums. Donald Fagen, you know, since Everything Must Go, Donald Fagen did his Morph the Cat, which was all right, you know. It was good. Perhaps not great. It was okay. And then Walter Becker did his Circus Money, which... Circus Money, man. I'm kind of hoping it's someday I'll find some value in that album, but it just, to me, it's just... worthless. It's so sort of sad, because he had another solo album.
The Overnightscape 1165, The Phase Lords Waterway, March 22nd, 15, 83/94.
Yeah, before the VR parks get here to the States. Yeah.
Wow. Virtual reality theme parks in Japan. Yeah.
Yeah, I could set it up for you guys.
Right. How are we going to get there?
Joey, baby. Yeah, Max here. Yeah, we're thinking about taking the show on the road. Japan, yeah, big, long limo. Yeah, first class tickets. Oh, and give Stella my love. Ciao.
Yeah.
Let's eat.
Sounds good to me. Yeah. I just want to thank you for helping out the show and everything.
Yeah, I had fun. I hope we can do it again.
Yeah, me too. Hey guys, wait up!
Honey, you'd be great at it if you cut your nails, you could play video games! Look, honey, come on, honey, sweetheart!
Joey, you should trust me!
Sega!
Sega instead of Stella.
Yes! Yes, I think you did the right thing! Thank you for your vote! Game Beat!
Bob.
The preceding was a paid advertisement by Sega of America. Absolutely Rose Street, copyright 1994, Patrico Senare Impulse Inc. Wow. That is amazing. So they were saying, I was reading that this actually did air. I didn't see it, but stop. It's interesting, like the bimbo character is very sexist now, but back then they were still using like the bimbo character. That was like a part of humor, like there was a bimbo. Let's see. Unseen for 20 years, Absolutely Rose Street is a half-hour infomercial that was commissioned by Sega to promote the 32X. Hardware in 1994. Produced by Los Angeles ad agency Patrico Senare and a company called Impulse Productions with contributions from the Sega Music Group. The show gave a sneak preview of various 32X games to Insomniacs and 20-somethings who happened to catch it on Comedy Central, ESPN2, and or a handful of other cable outlets in the middle of the night. And according to a contemporary article in Billboard magazine, Absolutely Rose Street was shown more than 50 times in 20 U.S. markets during November and December of 1994. During the show, an 800 number appears on the screen, ostensibly to allow viewers to vote for Game Beat or Styling with Stella. But nobody seems to remember if the show actually aired. Never mind what happened when you called the phone number. Wow. So 90s. The show has no on-screen... This is on videogameephemera.com. The show has no on-screen credits other than a copyright notice, so I have been Googling my ass off in an attempt to identify...
The Meanderer, January 10th, 24, 26, 28th.
If I need to go over that again... Like, I acknowledge at the time I felt lonely, but then I also feel like I made the best of it, and it was a memorable and enjoyable experience. Anyway, so I told host Christopher, who I don't even know if he exists, to be honest. I told him about the coincidences. I said, I don't know if you're a believer in messages from God or universe or whatever, that I had added Maya on Facebook the week before, noticed her photo of the dog. So to have them answer the door was a pleasant surprise. And I even ended with, I have been on a coming up journey in recent months, so any affirming messages are very welcome. And I felt the dog was a blessing. I don't know if it's... I think it's okay to name the dog Rocco. Yeah, and I'm slowly building my circle of acquaintances. Like, I think Joe's potential to become a good friend, but we'll see. Met a couple of people at the meeting last night. I have been following my goal to get to 3 new to me meetings, so I asked for a ride to the 8 p.m. Yep, it was 7 yesterday, 7 to 8 men's group, which was beneficial, even though, like, I don't love my own chair, it's usually this. Well, it'll do bad. I was honest with them. I said, you know, I have been to a lot of meetings, but none of them consistently enough that you remember me. Like, I don't even, like, in retrospect, it felt kind of egotistical, but then obviously. The pants are kind of falling down. I need to buy a new belt to this week yet. I'm not sure I need much. I I still have some food from weeks ago I haven't gotten to yet because of my primarily burger melt diet. I don't have much else to say. I think it's below freezing, so carrying this around with my hand is quite painful. You know why I'm so stubborn about not using the previous MP3 player? Sound quality is better.
Now back along to Newton, December 14th, 14, 25, 25ths.
Thank you.
I'll be the last to know. These next summers are beyond the day. Said these are such perfect days. If the bomb drops, baby, I wanna be the last to know. And now you're living up behind the hill. And though it's the same city, and we're the same sun.
The Overnightscape number 278, September 7th, 05, 7 ninths.
And the little nerds that are inside the goo. Wow. This is maybe... This is sort of the pinnacle of like candy technology, I think. It really is. Wow. It is amazingly good. I'm really shocked. I'm really surprised. This is one of the best candies ever. Sweet Tarts Rope. Nerds inside. That is good stuff. That is really wow. I'm kind of shocked by that. That is excellent. So wow. I'm stunned. I gotta get my composure. That's a great candy. Wonka from Wonka. Alright, so I wanted to talk about here. I got this book at that thrift store in Dover, New Jersey, and it's the Book of TV Lists. And on the cover we have Carol Burnett, Miss Piggy, the Hulk, and Mary Tyler Moore. And you know, it's definitely a used book. It has someone wrote with a magic marker on the back, 252. You know, it's weird. I whatever happened to the magic marker? Because I went to Staples the other day. And there really is no more magic marker. That used to be a brand of marker. Does it still exist? They had Marks a Lot and Sharpie. I think Sharpie has pretty much taken over from magic marker. You know how certain brand names become words, like Band-Aid had became a generic term and magic marker? I think Sharpie is starting to take over from magic marker a little bit. Oh, here on the back we have Lucille Ball, LeVar Burton, Charlie's Angels, and the Flintstones. But what really convinced me to buy this book was they had... This was right around the time that a couple of shows that were really huge when I was growing up were on. That's Incredible and Real People. And Real People is a show that I used to love watching. And what I find so bizarre is that the show has almost completely disappeared. There's no DVDs available, and I've never even gotten a pirate video of Real People. I mean, it's gone. And this was a huge, huge show. In fact, let me see if I can find the IMDb listing for Real People here. This was sort of a, you know how today people are tired of the reality TV craze? I think that back then there was another reality TV craze. And, all right, I'm trying to see. I really can't find it. Anyway, I'm going to read you what it says in here. Now, back in the 70s, there was a thing called the Book of Lists, which was very popular, just a book of random lists. I'm sure you can find it around. It was a great book. So this is obviously sort of inspired by that. But we have a little article here, a little list about Real People. And 11 Real People subjects for the 1980 to 81 season. When Real People premiered in 1979, it not only shot to the top 10 in popularity, but the show ushered in a new wave of Ripley's Believe It or Not type reality programming. So this book is from like 1981, and they're talking about reality programming. NBC's Real People was a trend-setting show, which was soon thereafter being cloned under various forms.
The Overnightscape 1726, Talk Hound Game Piece, August 4th, 20, 1450 seconds.
The inner band, though. Very windy. Is it even raining out? Can I just like walk out here? It's not raining at all. I can just walk out like normal. It's like a slight drizzle. Yeah. Everything's all right. All right, it's raining now. I'll probably go for a walk later after the storm's over. All right, the rain's back. Okay. Cool. Well, there's your weather report. Some cool big trees in the distance. Because I live on a hill, so I'm looking up at, like, trees that are up on the hill. Cool. This is, you don't have less wind like this very often. Comes a gust.
Whoa!
Gusting. Cool, man. And back inside. I wanted to take a look at this spice here that I bought. Pricey and spicy. Was it like $15 or something for this spice? Adventure Kitchen Blends. Sumac and Sage Seasoning. AdventureKitchen.com. A versatile seasoning blend for veggies, eggs, meat, fish, pasta, and more. It has organic ingredients. It has a sumac salt, organic sage, and freshly ground black pepper. Made with love in the Adventure Kitchen, Montclair, New Jersey, USA. Find 101 ways to use this blend at adventurekitchen.com/101ways. Wow. Let's try a little bit of this. Yeah, it's a really good smell. Sumac and sage. It does remind me of za'atar, from what little I know about za'atar. Let's just get a little bit in a spoon here of this stuff. I mean, it's very salty too, but try a little bit of this spice. Wow. Very flavorful. It's basically, I think the sumac has almost sort of a sharp, almost fruity taste. And it's the sage is kind of more of that herbal taste. And then there's salt and pepper in there. Let me have a little bit more here. I was eating spice right out of the jar and it's a spoon. That's really good. Really good, man. Yeah. It almost does have sort of a picklish taste on the edge. But that sharpness and that
coolness, the smoothness of the sage, and it's a cool idea. He sold me on it.
The Meandering Mouse number 99 Tokyo Disneyland Fun and Christmas Special, December 23rd, 09, 1733rds.
Stop, and now parade is rolling again. Gingerbread men and gingerbread girls, and some candy cane dancers, and we have an Alice in Wonderland unit
with the Cheshire Cat on the top.
Cheshire Cat up above, and we got Alice and the Mad Hatter
having their tea party with their Christmas tree right there.
That's right, having a tea party.
Cloud Base 44, Irreconcilable Complacency, September 1st, 12, 54, 60 seconds.
Piano player, double bass, accordion player, and someone on piano. Oh, I said that, piano, yeah. And clarinet. All playing there together at the side, outside a cafe. There's also a church here. I presume it's Marcos Church or something? St. Marcos? I guess. Maybe it's a basilica. Does basilica just mean cathedral, kind of?
Yeah.
It's more or less a big cathedral here. It looks very colorful, like the Vatican. So, can I have a look in here? And there's a strange, oh, there's a zodiac clock over here with the kind of, you know, the crab and the bull and the stag and the all that kind of thing with stars and the
some planets on it as well. So that's strange looking. Very few Illuminati things I've been noticing around Italy. See if I can pick up on any of these things. There's angels on top. Of course, Jesus in the middle. And then, I don't know, lots of pigeons. Lots of people. People are feeding the pigeons. Never seen that before. Oh, someone holding a pigeon in their hands. That's why they're feeding them, I guess. Oh, this looks like another queue in the sun. Oh no. Probably have to pay too. See, this tourist thing's not all it's cracked up to be. Again, can't complain though. In a beautiful place in Italy. Those lions with wings there, what do you call them? They're there as well. A lot of them around. Lions with wings. See them as represents banks as well, you know, like Barclays and stuff. I'm after losing her. Hold on. Okay, we didn't bother queue up there. It's too long of a queue in the sun. They've all sorts of a lot more rich people here again, because, well, there must be all the big shops, Louis Vuitton, Chanel. I don't even know half of them. Hermano, Serino, whatever. Them expensive things. A lot of people wearing them too. Hermes and all that.
The Overnightscape 1776, Newfound Potion, January 26th, 21, 1955.
To the World Trade Center. And the PATH station there and stuff. But there's a picture of him. Yeah, I remember this. Yes, I was there. It was he did lunch and dinner time, a Friday and a Saturday, December 3rd and 4th, 2010. Such a long time ago now, over 10 years ago. There he is with his different effects and stuff. Yeah, he was famous for sitting down while he played the guitar, even from the very beginning. That's like his thing, sitting down. Apparently, their first big gig was opening for the Rolling Stones, and he sat down even then. Before they had any records out or anything, Robert Fripp. There he is. I'm trying to see if there's any recordings of this. Looks like there is a bootleg available, but I can't really play it. There's a bootleg like vinyl you could get of this performance. Wow, that's cool. A vinyl record of that performance. But I just didn't care about it. I remember walking by and being like, "Ah, this is boring." Yeah, I can't really find any audio of it. See? And now I'm getting into his music. This is a band where there's been many different people in the band. He's the only consistent person. And it seems like he may be kind of difficult to work with, as everyone that's in the band always leaves, you know. He's obviously some kind of a genius, though. Here's what it says. Robert Fripp, the famed English guitarist, composer, and founder of the prog rock band King Crimson, takes up a brief residency in the Winter Garden to perform his solo soundscapes. Based on his Frippertronics explorations of the 70s, Fripp now creates lush sonic tapestries with electric guitar and digital effects. Each performance of soundscapes is site-specific and often done in majestic spaces and always created in the spirit of the moment. This performance is part of New Sounds Live, curated by John Schaefer, host and producers of WNYC Radio's popular shows New Sounds and Soundtrack. So it was. I was probably there at December 3rd, Friday, at the 7 p.m. performance. Wow. Oh, I gotta find if I was taping at that time. I don't know. Anyway, I know it doesn't really matter, but now that I'm into the band, I really want to know. That's not him singing. I don't think he does singing. He just does the music, the guitar stuff. He's had a string of different singers, including Greg Lake from Emerson, Lake & Palmer. Well, it's lunchtime now. I don't think I'm going to go out for a walk. It's very nasty out there. I think it may have stopped. It's going back and forth from snow to rain. There could be a thin layer of ice. Not the best time to walk around, I don't think. So I'm not sure how much shoveling I'll have to do. I hope it rains a little, just clear it all away. Anyway, I've been trying out something new. Having martinis, yes. Do you capitalize martinis? How is that spelled? Of course, the classic cocktail. You know, I've never been that
In the Fish, 1621.
What's the site? I can't think of what
the
it's
live,
called.
Live Scene or whatever.
Lipson. Yeah, and there's another one. Tumblr?
Yeah, I'm on Tumblr. Gunkcast is on Tumblr.
But,
and you were too.
I'm on Tumblr too. But I do have... I actually had like... was going to set up something, my own website, and have, and I was like, who's going to listen to this?
Yeah.
Who's listening to this? Is there anybody? If you're listening to this, please send me some kind of response at MANNY42NOT0@gmail.com. That's MANNY42NOT0@gmail.com. Send me something to let me know that this is worth doing. Send me just a, like, you could just say, I'm listening. Because sometimes I think I'm just talking to myself.
Or just like Special Delivery and Gunkcast on Facebook.
Yeah, we are on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I said I was recording, I had some people make comments that they were happy about it.
Oh yeah.
So Carrie Michelle, Terry May is the escapist. You ever
I did hear
him. He's a cool guy.
Yeah,
I met with Terry out in California.
Yes. Is he still doing some shows or
he hasn't done one in a while, but he's a very very interesting guy.
Actually no, I did hear a couple ones that he really good ones.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. Terry's like in the entertainment industry out there and
something about a haunted house show.
He helped set up a haunted house in Beverly Hills and he also had a big episode about Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. That was
like I said. He's got some good stories because he's like out in the California stuff. And Jerry Novak, met up with us also. Hey Jerry, Susan, how you doing?
Hey guys,
I met. They came. Yep. It was great. They came out when I was in Anaheim. Jerry and Susan, who he was dating then, but then he eventually married.
Yeah,
came and picked me up and brought me to a restaurant. And then while we're eating there, this guy walks in and he thought Susan was Carol Ann.
Oh, really?
So he walked up to, he was like trying to like do a whole fake out, and it was actually the escapist.
Oh, wow.
And,
wow.
So he drove like very good.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You're three for three, man.
Yep.
Yes.
Nice.
So yeah, they came and met me out there, and that was a nice. And then I think Escapist drove a little further than you even.
Oh really? Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are really nice for doing that. Come to Jersey, and I will reciprocate. I'll take you out. I'll bring you to the Red Cadillac.
I have to question this. I heard Frank Nora, a recent show, mentioning. I'm not sure if he meant about all of New Jersey, but. Filling up with gasoline, and that it was only, you did not have any option but to get, it was not like the normal pay your own way at the pump, you know, it wasn't self-serve, it was full service.
Yeah, there's no such thing as self-serve in Jersey, you have to have somebody come out.
The Overnightscape 1708, a never-ending late-night broadcast, June 2nd,
2022-45. I know.
It's a great game.
But it is a great. It's a very great game, and in fact, the version you get on like the phone or the iPad now is like a really great version with all the music. But they had to get rid of all the stores. You know, they got rid of Kentucky Fried Chicken and the Gap and Tower Records. They had to change all those. They didn't have the rights anymore.
I guess I haven't played video games since then.
What? Even Popcorn Mania is gone. I guess that must have been an actual company.
I always wonder about popcorn mania, you know. Don't you remember from Crazy Taxi, if you drive across that park to the other side, there's this place called Popcorn Mania? It's no. This like giant pink castle kind of place, no?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's a while ago.
There's also Popcorn Mania in the Circus Voltaire Pinball. I don't think they're related, though.
I just remember Crazy Taxi, Mario Kart, Mario Party.
Yeah. N64 and Dreamcast, those days.
The Tetris.
Which one was that? It was like a two-player Tetris on N64?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I kind of remember that one, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good one. Diddy Kong Racing?
Our last place and this new place, we have not played video games. Did we play video games at our last place?
We had a Wii set up. I think we played a few games. The original.
Not very long.
The original Wii. I know, that's why when I got the Switch, I was hoping it was the real one, the big one.
Sorry.
But I like it anyway, but we could have played... Anyway, well, it's fine.
Did you talk about how I got that?
I did not. I said you won a contest. Yes. It's a new kind of game they have on Facebook where they spin wheels and it's...
That's illegal.
It's of questionable legality, but it's all the rage these days.
When I want to switch, Frank had no problem.
Yes, I'm like, I don't know about these wheel spinners, but I'll take it, though. I'll take a switch. But yeah, these video games, they have radio stations, right? It seems really cool you produce this kind of radio station that you can then listen to in the game. So I was thinking of creating kind of a radio station people could listen to anywhere, inside a game, in a virtual reality, anytime they want. Something that was very open, like free. Like, you know, all my stuff and my idea is to make everything free. You know, I know.
This is what I married.
But I really wanted to do it. It was sort of the idea of all those, you know, all those public domain videos. The audio of them can be very interesting. And if you curate it enough, you can make a whole radio station out of it that can play in the background of video games. I haven't pursued this idea, though, as it seems a bit of a rabbit hole to go down, and in the end you wouldn't really make any money from it. It would all be free.
But that's what you like, not making any money.
Well, I like the fact that by not putting money in the equation, it can help, it makes for a better system. You know, we're ahead of the curve. Money's going away someday anyway. Okay, we have no money involved. That's it. No?
Well, money was able for us to finally buy a house.
That's true.
We have a fire pit.
Well,
we're enjoying it.
I have a day job. Anyways, that's about it for now. I want to thank you so much for...
The Overnightscape 1424, Warm Cities Within, September 12th, 17th,
37/50. Let me see what the exact quote was. It said that I played... you know, when you play Hearthstone, it's like a card game, like Magic the Gathering. You face off against another person, a real person somewhere in the world, but just randomly. You don't know anything about them but their screen name. You can't even really talk to them. If you could, they'd curse you out the whole time. Their people are very salty these days. But it said, I played people in 27 different countries on Hearthstone. 27 different countries. Like, so the people that I was playing were in, who knows, Canada, Mexico, Russia, England, France, Denmark, UAE, I don't know, 27, that's a lot of countries. It's a very international game. I wish they could, I know they can't give the ideas, I wish they would list the countries though, I'd be very interested to see that. I want to see a list of countries of people I played in Hearthstone. There's like 70 million people playing this game. This is a world obsession. I know I'm obsessed. It's a great thing to do on the bus or sitting on the toilet playing Hearthstone. But I love the deck because, like, you know, you start off, you want, you know, Mistress of Mixtures and who's a Death Rattle minion. Because eventually I have Nazoth and I can bring back all the Death Rattle minions. And then I have the Gul'dan Death Knight card. I can bring back all the demons. So you just keep playing and you try to stay alive, you know. And I use this move. It's, you know, you play your Doomsayer, then you play Treachery and you blow up the whole board. You can, like, blow up everything. It's great. Then you heal yourself, and you just try to, like, stay alive till the later part of the game. That Nazoth turn, man, you got a ton of death Death Lords and Sludge Belchers, for God's sakes, someone might concede right then. Then that buys you a lot of time. And then you do the Gul'dan turn. My God, all your demons come back. Right? Forget about it. Blast them to hell. It's fun. I know a lot of you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, but it's a card game. You play cards of like Dungeons and Dragons type cards of dragons and monsters and stuff. I know it sounds very nerdy, but it's very fun though. It's a video game. And it's free, even though I usually spend a couple hundred dollars a year on it, but it's not that much. Pennies a day. Just pennies a day to play Hearthstone. I know anything could be pennies a day. Even if it's like $1 million a day, that's just like 100 million pennies a day. It's pennies a day. There's Times Square in the growing dusk. Let's go over here. Pretty mellow afternoon. Or is it evening? What's that crossover point? 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock? That's the thing in Canada, they use that like 18 o'clock shit. I don't like that shit. I'm not used to it. I don't like 18 o'clock. F that. But their clocks don't have it. This is the thing. These fuck people, these can-